Accession number 31447, Mr. George Clark, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Clark?
Yeah, I was born in St. Paul Street, Islington, London, on the 31st of March, 1927.
And can you tell us a bit about your family background? Because were your parents living in Islington? Was that where you...
Yes. Yeah, my father worked for a Catholic Bible publisher, B. Herder, in Queen Square, London. When the war came, when Italy came into the war, they closed down. He didn't go into the war because he had perforated eardrums, so he had a job with an American serviceman as a stoker in a big building.
Now, how many were there in the family? What was life growing up before the war started? You know, when you were between sort of naught and 11, what was life like living in Islington?
Oh, it was fine. We moved from Islington. As I say, I was born there. Then we moved to St John Street, Clerkenwell, and I think it's quite nice. Schools were good. Had plenty of friends, and then we.
What were your houses like?
Oh, we. It wasn't very good. We lived in two rooms. One was a bedroom, one was a living room, and there was only a cold water tap. And we was on the third floor of an office building. There was on the floor was the guys that owned the building. The second floor was engravers, and we lived on the third. And for the toilet, we had to go down the three lots of stairs into the backyard. Yeah, it was. And as I say, we only had a cold water tap.
And how many in the family?
Then was me, mother, father, and baby sister. At the time, till we moved to Kenton in 1937.
So, the Kenton was the final place you moved to.
Yes.
Now, and where were you living in Kenton?
Kenmore Road. It was a new council estate. That was 1937.
Was that a better housing? Tell us a bit about that.
Oh God, yes, it was three bedroom. I'd never seen a worm before. Yeah, no, it was brilliant. It was a garden. Yeah. No, it was lovely.
And the facilities? Was it built-in toilets and bathrooms?
Oh, yeah, built-in. To fill the bath, though, you had to go in the kitchen, heat the boiler, and then you had a pump to pump backwards and forwards to get the water to go into the bathroom. But, it was fine.
And what was the estate like?
I'd just say it was pretty good because everyone was new. You know, each house was a new person coming in. You got to know everybody. No, it was brilliant.
Was there a sense of community there?
Yes, yeah, there was. Yeah, it was very good.
How did it show itself before the war? I mean, when you were growing up.
Before, just the children are all the same age, sort of thing. The parents got together, and some come from Burnt Oak, already lived in a council accommodation. And it was very good. Schools were good.
Now tell me about your education before the war started, because you'd have a fair bit before.
To be truthful, after I was 12, I think I only went for 2 weeks. I went and lived with a uncle down by Hyde Park. He had a fish shop down the Edgware Road there. And it wasn't really a lot of checks. The school inspector come, asked where I was, and my mother said I was out of the way.
So how had you done when you'd been at school?
Not very good, because I hated it.
Why did you hate school?
I don't know, I just did hate it. I went to Claremont School in Kenton, and I thought that was lovely. And then they opened this new school, about a mile from here, Culver Grove, and I went there for a week, and I hated it. And I said to Mother, I just hate it, I'm not going back. And she said, the only thing, I'll send you to with Jules in the Edgware Road. And I went there and stayed there for more or less. I used to come home on a bike from... Marble Arch down to Kenton every day to see my mum, and then when it was time for me to start work, she said, well, you have to bring some money in, so I'll come home then. And
now in the meantime, I mean, the outbreak of war, it's an old joke. Yeah. I know. Do you remember the day war broke out? I mean, you were only about 11, 12, you'd be.
Yeah, what we was doing about a week before it broke out, across the road was allotments, and they had lots of sand there. We used to go over and help to fill up sandbags. And the morning the war broke out...
Tell me about that. How was that organised? So that would be late August, because the war started on the 3rd.
Yes, 3rd of September. Yeah.
So what, who was organising it? What was happening?
I can't remember. I know all the children, all the men, women were there, old, some holding the sacks, filling them up. And I think the council took them away.
On lorries?
As far as I know, yeah. As far as I can remember.
Did you get a gas mask issue before the war broke out?
Yes, I think it was. I think we did.
Do you remember much about it and what it, you know, how you tested it and wore it?
Oh, I remember the gas mask in a little cardboard box, but I don't think I really...
Not something you...
...much to do with it. I know you had to carry it around sort of thing, but I've never really done
that. So tell me about the outbreak of war then. That's
yeah, on the morning, we heard Neville Chamberlain saying, you know, the outbreak of war. And then the sirens went, and my father said, oh, which really was a very stupid thing. He said, stand by the wall dividing the two rooms, because it's more solid. But actually, we was facing the window. So if anything had happened, the glass would have blown the glass in. But, you know, that's all we knew then. And then we had a Anderson shelter built.
Now, hang on. What did you think about... I mean, you were only 12, but yeah. What did you think about the outbreak? Was it exciting or was it frightening? Or do you not remember? Because it's a lot...
No, it wasn't actually exciting. I just thought the Germans were stupid to think they could beat us, although we declared war on them, sort of thing. Yeah. I just couldn't figure out. I thought that was, you know, I assumed that we was sort of unbeatable.
Now tell me about the Anderson shelter coming, because
yeah, we had three or four men come one day, dug a big hole, and put this Anderson shelter up.
Now, could you explain a bit more about it? Because a lot of people now, obviously we know, but yeah. A lot of people now don't know what it was or how it worked. What was an Anderson shelter?
Yeah, it was made of corrugated iron, and it was two round pieces. Bolts in the top, and then where it's level with the ground, they put cemented inside. And you had I imagine it's about 4 foot high to get in, and about 2 or 3 foot across. And we spent a hell of a lot every night when my mother, we used to pray my mother never heard a siren go, so we wouldn't have to get out of bed, but she always did. And off we went to the shelter.
And what was it like inside the shelter? What did you have? I mean, what was it like in there?
Oh, we just had blankets, flask. One of us tried to keep awake all the time. I sort of a couple of hours on, a couple of hours off. My father fell asleep one night and hit his head and poured the blood. And they'd made a door, a wooden door, that you... turned inside and kept it closed.
Did you have any sort of bunks or a bench or anything? Or
no, there wasn't really room.
And was it dry?
Yes.
Because some of them,
yeah,
as you
that's
know...
Right. No, this was very dry, actually, yes. Yeah, no, it's... some of them flooded, I don't know. Was, yeah, but they all seemed pretty good.
Now, you were still at home then?
Yes.
You hadn't gone to live with the chip shop?
No, this was a bit later on, yeah.
Now, any other effects of the war starting on you?
Nothing I can... I know I used to... Once the bombings was on, the cinema at Queensbury used to stay open more or less all night once the film was on, even with the raids on. And me and a couple of my friends used to spend a hell of a lot of time in the cinema. You know, come out after so often.
What was the cinema one of your big things then?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about it. What did you like?
I remember going to see. I think was it The Great Dictator? I think see that two or three times, sort of thing.
Charlie Chaplin film.
Yeah, yeah. And then what? When was that? That was right near the end of the war.
So, what type of films did you like when you were a kid?
American Gangster, and there used to be what they called the guys, the Bowie Boys, I think that was called, Air Gang or something, and used to enjoy them, but I think it was a great escape to get to the cinema.
Now, was there any question of you being evacuated?
No, no.
Why not? Are you not just not aware of?
No, I think, I don't know really, but no, there wasn't no mention.
Were any of your family, your sister?
No.
Now, what was it like when you went to... What about rationing? Yes, that's the next thing. What about food rationing? Did that affect...
We always seemed okay with the rationing. I don't think it was ever short of anything.
You didn't notice it much?
No, not really.
What about sweets? Because some kids noticed there weren't...
Yeah, no, I never didn't. I think the only thing that more than that was my parents both used to smoke, and the cigarettes were hard to get. And the guy in Kenton Road used to keep their cigarettes for them, and I used to go and collect them every day, sort of thing. That was a regular thing. But when on the cinema thing, I remember going to the Plaza once, and I was coming back, and they'd caught a German plane in the searchlights. Of course, he dumped his bomb, which I think was a landmine, and it landed not far from the cinema. And I was just up road here, Stretfield Road, and the blast blew me over into the gutter. And next thing, there's a policeman come over to me, and he said, "Are you all right, son?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." And he stunk a drink. And when I went home, I said to Mum, policeman come and asked me if I was. There's another old guy, and he's come down, or he was okay. And I said that he smelt a drink. She said, "Whereabouts was it?" And I told her. She said, "You silly bucker, it was outside Osborne's, the off licence, all the bottles had busted in. That was a smell, not a policeman."
What was the bombing like then? I mean, you know, for you, while you were here, but then when you went down to Edgware Road as well?
No, by the time we went to Edgware Road, it wasn't too bad there. All the main...
The bomb, main bomb was when you were up here. What was it like then?
As I say, the worst part was going in the shelter every night. But there was an occasion, as I said, my father couldn't join the forces. He had perforated eardrums, but he was like an ARP warden. And one night, at the end of our road, they dropped some incendiary bombs. And they had to get into this ARP shelter. And the guy with him, and my dad said, "Oh, I'll go and get the key from the warden." And this other guy said, "No, I'll go." So he went, as he did, across the road. Shell that hadn't gone off, come down, blew up, and it blew his arm off. Yeah, but if my dad had gone, I'd probably the same thing would have happened to him. But the incendiary bombs were put out, it wasn't no problem.
And any, how much damage was done near your house in the area?
Not a lot. There was one further down the road. I was doing a paper round and all at that time. But the guy who owned the paper shop, he used to come by our house early hours of the morning, and he used to come in the back door and bang on the shelter. "Come on, get up. You're coming in to do your paper round." He used to go on then. And I used to travel on later on. But in the end, I think we used to still do the paper round when the rays were on.
What was it like with the blackout? How much effect did that have on you?
Not really. You just had to watch where you went. But it wasn't really... Everything was dark, but it wasn't bad.
How did your parents do actually blackout your house? Do you remember?
Yeah, oh, they just had heavy curtains. They had the crisscross on the windows. You had the old paper, sticky paper, in case it was something. No, it wasn't really...
But nothing special.
No, you got so used to it, I think. I don't think it mattered much.
Now, what about when you... So, when did you move to Edgware Road, then, or down, by Hyde Park?
Yeah, I'm not... One minute, I was talking... No, it wasn't... I was at home then, no.
You're not sure, are you?
Yeah, I'm not... No, I'm not positive of that, no.
So what was life like down there? Did you help in the chip shop?
Yes.
I
used to peel the spuds, chip them, and then they used to work and I used to go out. But I think that was a bit later. I don't think it was when I was... I didn't go to school after 12, but I didn't go there immediately. I think I was still at home for a while. I was doing...
That sounds likely, because you're 12 39, so...
I was. Of course, I was doing a paper round, and also I was helping the baker. The baker had a pull along barrow sort of thing, delivering the bread, and I used to help him. No, I think I was near 14, I think, when I went to Edgware Road. Yeah, I must have been, because I was almost ready to start work. That's when my mother wanted me back.
And what was it like in the chip shop in those days? I mean, was it any different from today,
Seemed to be more people than you get in the fish shops now, sort of thing. But I think it was At the time, rationing that was still on, wasn't it? And,
I mean, did rationing apply to fish and chips? Did you have to have coupons or
No, I think it was shut on the Mondays, and they used to deliver on the Tuesday. But no, I don't think there's nothing to do with the rationing. No, I think you just come in and got your fish and chips.
So you could do that
on
top of your ration food. Yeah. Now, what was your first job? So you got your first job when you were 14 then, so that'd be 1941, I presume.
Yeah.
Now, what was your first job?
I worked for Builders Curtains Edgeware on bomb damage.
So what were you, a labourer? Or were you on apprenticeship?
One apprenticeship. You just done anything. If they wanted to help plaster, you helped the plasterer. If there was tiles wanted putting on the roof, you went up on the roof.
And it was all damage, bomb damage work, was it?
Yeah, it was all bomb damage, yeah.
Now tell me about the sort of thing you'd do.
Mate of mine used to play for Wilstone Football Club. He was working for another builder, and I went and worked with this, I can't think of his name, it was a Welsh guy, lived in Stenmore, and I went and worked with him on that. We used to put, a lot of the time, we was putting plasterboard up on the ceilings that were blown in, not plastering them, just put the plasterboard and leave it at that, and then move on to the next house. And
what about roofs? Would you retile or would you just cover it?
Just cover it mostly, yeah.
So they're not repairs, really. They're just
making good sort of thing for the time being, yeah. Yeah, I don't think you'd have had time to. Where I ended up at Montrose Avenue, though, very big houses, and it'd take ages to have done them properly.
So it's just to keep the rain out.
Yeah.
And
keep the rain out.
Would you reglaze or would you board up?
I think mostly boarding up. I think the glazing come after sort of thing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure now.
And did you enjoy the work?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, three of this guy knew that played for Wilson Football Club. No, it was fine. Yeah, just get a train at Kenton, up to Arlesham and Queen's Park, and go on from there.
And you were doing that from 41 to what, to the end of the war? How long were you doing it for?
Till I was called up.
So till 45?
Yeah.
So 4 years of it?
Yes. Yeah.
And did you gain a lot of skill? I mean, it sounds like you must have gained a lot of handy skills, plastering, glazing, or tiling. Or
yeah, I think you did with plaster, bits of plastering, yeah. Yeah, you did, but no plumbing or anything like that. I think just had proper plumbers to do that. But a lot of it was pulling the rest of the ceiling. Guys, all laths and plaster, was pulling them down and then putting the... It was a filthy job, actually, but someone had to do it.
Were you skipping stuff away as well? I mean, I don't know whether they had skips in 90s. But builder's skips.
Yeah, no, I think it was lorries. Yeah, it was lorries. Just loaded, you put it out the front of the barrow, and they come and took it away. But I don't think they worry too much about that, as long as they got the houses reasonably repaired.
Now, what about, were you a member of any boys' organisation?
No.
No Boy Scouts or
Scouts,
Army Cadets or Home Guard or anything?
No.
So you were in nothing to do with the war at all till you were actually called up?
No, nothing. Because some of the lads joined the cadets, and I said, no, if they want me to learn anything, I'll get in the Army. Which really was a bit silly, because if you'd gone in to the cadet force, you'd have had a good idea what you had to do.
Now, anything else about those the war years? I mean, what about things like the bombing raids? Do you remember any particular raids or any close escapes?
I remember seeing a plane on one Sunday, very low. Sunday lunchtime. I said to my dad, "It's a German plane." And then we heard an explosion, and apparently it got under the balloon barrages or something or other, and it dropped a bomb, and it was opposite Edgware Hospital in the Edgware Road, and I reckon so many people went to look that it stopped them getting the people out the houses quick sort of thing to over to it was only across the road from the hospital. But when the later on in when the doodlebugs, we had quite a few of them around here.
Now tell you what, the V1,
yeah,
tell us about them.
Yeah, the Kenton, West when I was working, sort of thing. Queen's Park, there was one landed round Kensington Gardens, and one side of Kensington Road, and another one fell the other side. And we was wondering then whether they're more or less all going to cut out and come down this area. But I think that was the only
thing. What was it like as they came across? Can you describe?
Yeah, you could hear them all and you could see them. They didn't seem to be going all that fast. And then it stopped and come. Once it stopped, that's when you started worrying, sort of thing. But it was lucky. It was nothing. I think this house had some damage on the side here. We weren't here then, but on the deeds and that, it's got all the bomb damage to repair. But I think all the side went, and this thing here upstairs, they blew down. But it was nothing bad. But it was only a little while, a little way down the road there.
And what about V2s? The rockets.
Yeah, I don't think there's any of them around here. You could hear them, but it was them, but I don't think it was nothing local.
Now, anything else about the actual war before you were called up then?
No, I can't think of nothing.
Your main thing was going to the cinema. Did you go to the pub? I mean, were you a drinker? I know you were underage.
A lot of the pubs only open one day, shut the next, open the other day. Never really bothered.
Well, tell us about your call up then. I mean, what was the whole procedure of being called up?
Well, I got the.
Because you didn't volunteer, did you?
No.
No reason.
Somebody said to me, but I don't know if it's true, that if you volunteer and you get killed, your parents or your relatives don't get a pension. I don't know if that's true, but if you do get called up, you get killed, they get a pension. But I never ever found out if that was true or not.
So what was the procedure being called up? I mean, did you have to register first?
Well, I got a letter. That's the one where I had to go to Edgware, 2nd of January 1945. There was quite a few guys there, and just had to go and see different doctors.
And do you remember the medical? Was it strict or was it just?
No, not really. Just hold your cobblers and cough, and then which regiment you're going in, sort of thing. Now this guy that Ted Wald, I think his name was, that worked with us and played for Willstone, he went in the Irish Guards 6 months before me, and I see him on leave, and he said, "Oh, it's pretty tough, rough. You don't want nothing to do with that." So when the officer said, "What would you, your tools, go in the guard?" I said, "I don't particularly want to go in the guard, thanks very much." "Don't worry, you won't." But of course, when the papers come, it was Irish Guards. But I think they come just the day after my birthday, or just after my birthday. And then I had to report to.
And that was April 1945?
Yeah, March, 1945. And
after your birthday, you said, I thought.
I think it was before, wasn't it?
So no, it arrived before, but you had to go afterwards.
Yeah, I haven't got the, what's name here, is it? Report, I think. No, I know I had the thing saying report to Caterham Guards Depot on Thursday the 19th of April. And my father said, "I'll come down with you." I said, "I don't know if that's a good idea." It looks like I'm a daddy's boy, but he came anyway.
And then
life began.
So that was at the Caterham Guards Depot.
Yeah, I think.
Now, was that Irish? Was it a special Irish guard thing, or was this just general guards training?
It was all guards, the whole five guards regiments.
And what happened when you arrived? You know, when you arrive, you're a civilian, aren't you?
Yes,
and you walk through the gates, and you're not quite soon afterwards.
Yeah.
So, what happened when you got to Caterham?
Oh, I think they lined us up, and I think it was haircuts. I'd had a haircut before. I thought everyone touched mine, but naturally I took everything off. And I think we had to go and get uniforms. And then they settled us in.
What do you remember about the kitting out? Because it's all changed now. What uniform did they give you then?
I think it's one battle dress and one green fatigue thing. Cap. Nothing fit, but.
Anything else?
No, that was it. And I think then you met the sergeant who was going to train you. And be truthful, I think, well, I didn't like the guy. I don't think no one did.
Why not?
Boy, he was a horrible man. Sergeant Bull. B-U-double-L. We were training on the ground, and on the parade ground, and a guy had done something wrong, and he had to hold his rifle up, and, you know, start up and down his legs. Not one of our guys. Anyway, he dropped down, collapsed, and he died. And they brought the ambulance, and the sergeant made us turn, look at it, and his words were, he won't be the only bastard to die here today. Which, didn't do me a lot of good.
We'll come back to the instructors. Now, what about your accommodation? Was it huts or was it proper barracks?
No, it was huts.
Now, can you describe what your hut was like?
It was a wooden hut. I think in the squad there'd be about 24 guys, I think. And it was a black stove in the middle of it.
And how were the beds arranged?
Oh, two rows.
Either side?
Yeah.
And was the corporal or the sergeant in the room at the end, or in a separate room at the end?
No, they were separate, but you had with you an old soldier, they called trained soldier, and he looked after you. And if you went out dirty or something was wrong, he took the can back. But so every evening you had to have your legs astride your bed, have all your equipment out, and call it cleaning parade. You had to sit there, I think, about an hour and a half. And if you wanted to go to the toilet, you had to go up. The sergeant used to be in there then for the hour, and you used to say, please, sergeant, can I be excused to go to the toilet from cleaning parade? And when you come back, please, sergeant, can I rejoin cleaning parade?
Now, tell me about how you cleaned your kit then, because there's also, I mean, because people don't know how to polish boots properly or in fact look after anything there.
Yeah.
So how were you to do it? What do you remember about cleaning your kit?
The boots mostly was the spit and polish. But
so how did you do it?
Just, we had little, the top of the tin of the boot polish was put water, and we always, all, even when years later, when I'd come on leave from Germany, used to buy Kiwi Black polish and take back to the boys, because that's the only polish we more or less used.
Not cherry blossom,
no? No, Kiwi Black, yeah. And it was just a matter of going round and round and round and get them up to standard.
Was it all the boot, or was it just the toe and the heel?
Mostly just the toe and the heel. But the other had to be clean, but one polish.
What about underneath?
It was all rough, you couldn't sort of.
How'd you get the pimples out?
No, there wasn't no pimples in there. But I think, if I remember right, the pimples were just in the side bits and that.
So let's think. What about, were you using Blanco or?
Yeah, but you actually used Blanco on the belts.
Can you explain what Blanco is? Because they really don't know what that is.
I don't exactly what it's made of. It's just like a brown pigment, and you wet it and with a brush and put it on your belt and let it hang out and dry. And then you had to, the bits on the belt, the brass, you had to clean them with brass. I think that was about.
A button stick?
Oh, yes, you have button sticks.
Did you have to lay them out in a particular way on the bed?
Yes. Yeah, it was all laid out every morning for inspection. And you had a little shelf, a cupboard, I think it was. But if one of the NCOs came around, it wasn't quite right, the lot would probably get swiped with a big heavy broom and put on the floor, and you're told to redo it.
What did you think of that level of bull? You know, spit and polish, whatever you want to call it.
I didn't mind it. It wasn't hard. You just had to make sure, you know, you've done it properly.
What about cleaning the room? I mean, how far did they go with that? You know, the floors, the windows.
Oh, wait, when it was only any inspection, I think the heater had black polish on it, and the big stone it was on was white, and everything that moved was white, or didn't move was white, as you'd say. Yeah, but that's only mostly for inspections.
Were the floors, were they wood floor? Were they polished?
Wood floors. Not that I can remember, no, I don't think they were polished.
So it wasn't too bad, the bullshit?
No, not really. I think the drilling at the beginning was the hardest.